Stick around to the end of the podcast because we have an interview with Dierks Bentley that you're going to want to hear. It's really good stuff. His album, The Mountain, is out, and we cover all kinds of cool stuff and even talk pilot talk. So, again, that's at the very end of the podcast. Don't miss it.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their minds. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Dragon!
Oh my God, he just ran in. Save him.
Oh, jeez. He just ran in.
Oh, it's the best. Leroy Jenkins. If you don't know what that is a thing you'll have to, a video you'll have to look up.
One of the first viral videos of the internet.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Leroy Jenkins. That. Yeah. And if you don't know it, look it
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Like again, you don't understand it until you see it. And once you see it, you got
to
unsee it. Yeah.
It's like me explaining it to my dad. Because I was explaining it to my dad. My dad would go, okay, now what now? Okay.
He did what?
It's a what? So they're all together?
Yeah.
Well, not really.
And then, he got them all killed? Yeah.
But it was a game. Yeah. Well, how are they talking to each other? Well,
yeah. Again, Leroy Jenkins. You'll find it. Do you even know that?
Nope.
You don't know Leroy Jenkins? Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, see, it's great.
I'll get right on it.
So a couple cool things. I think first off, we got to talk about the live show. We are basically, what, a week away?
Stage show.
The stage show, yeah. That's going to be so cool. It is something that we've wanted to do for a long time, and we're going to do our very first one, which is probably, hopefully, going to be the worst one.
But yeah, get it out of the way.
Yeah, but that's great. You want one because that's where all the craziness and dumb mistakes that we're going to make are going to happen. And we're going to basically be doing what we're doing here on the podcast on a stage, but there's going to be interaction with the crowd. And we're going to be
I was thinking, Bubba and Patrick and I were talking the other day, it's kind of a mix between the podcast, the radio show, and Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's a mix of all of that.
How does the Whose Line In It Anyway thing come in?
Because it's improv stuff that we're going to be playing. It's making
games.
And playing games with people and stuff, playing games with each other.
Yeah, it's good. It's just a different thing. There's a lot of podcasts that are doing shows and traveling and people show up and enjoy. Because you want to, it's different when you see the person that, you listen to and you follow along and you like what they do. And then they're on stage and get to watch them and see it and be a part of it and interact with it. So it's going to be really neat. We're very excited. The first show is going to be a week from this Friday, like Bubba said, in Cookeville, Tennessee.
The Revolver Dance Hall and Saloon, which is a perfect place. That's exactly where you'd expect to see us.
Yeah,
Revolver. And just hang out. I mean, that's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing drink specials and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to have a really, really
good
time.
Tickets are only $10, too.
And I want to say, see that guy over there hiding in the other room on the phone? You're going to meet his alter ego, probably. Because
I hope not.
We run the risk of 5 Whiskey Patrick showing his face.
As long as it's 5 Whiskey Patrick and not 12 Whiskey Patrick.
I've never seen 12 Whiskey
Patrick. I don't think I've seen 12 Whiskey Patrick either.
I haven't even seen 5 Whiskey Patrick in a long
time. I have. I have.
Yeah, you have.
I just didn't know it.
You just didn't know it.
Oh, you should tell
people.
5
Whiskey Patrick is great.
I saw 5 Beer Patrick the other night.
Oh, yeah, at CMA Fest.
5 Beer Patrick got a little demanding.
Demanding?
Carson, come here.
Oh,
I'm in the middle of a conversation.
There was a good reason. What was it? I called you over. It was something
you wanted
good.
To. If I thought Garth was going to be there.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was about Garth. That's why I needed.
But
Garth. Yeah,
but he's like,
trying
come
to
here.
Theorize.
I've had 5 beers. I can't walk. I'm like, okay.
Dude, he can't walk with no beer.
I can't walk now. What are you talking about?
I've had 5 beers. I can't get out of this chair without making a noise.
That's how you, how old are you? It's how many noises you make. Do you get one grunt? Do you get two? Do you have a squeak? Do you have a squeal? Do you have a squeak, squeal, grunt? I mean, there's all that kind of comes into play, and that tells your true age.
I cannot get off of the couch without making a
noise. You can't get elf of the couch?
You can't get elf of the couch.
You got elf on a couch?
Hey, Willie!
He got Alf on the couch.
Oh, Willie.
You know, we could end the podcast now, and I would be happy. He just said,
ready, guys. Hey,
I tried to. Hey, so we're talking about the stage show.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Look at that. Look at Leroy. Oh, that's the best part of that.
Did he
video.
Go in? He
just
went
oh,
in.
Oh, my God. Leroy just went in by himself. No, Leroy. So great.
The best part is the guy going, and so. Chance of 97th. 3.333 repeating, of course. Let's do this.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. So anyway, do we have a link on our actual website for the
Who uses a website? We have a link on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Is that like a big thing? Like, has website Twitter. Traffic in general just gone completely crazy? Like, I know we used to do, when we worked for the old company, they would make us do photo galleries.
That's their thing. A lot of companies still do that.
They want your clicks. They want you to go clicks. And every certain number of clicks, you get a new ad. Every time they get an ad,
website,
they make a penny.
Our website exists as a place for you to get stuff that you want or need from us, not for us to try to get you to click on something 50 times.
Yeah.
So we can
Because I think most people, that's the just, first thing you do is you search on Facebook.
Yeah.
You go and that's where you hit the search bar for whatever you're looking for.
And by the way, whenever you're looking for us on Facebook, make sure you look for the blue verified check mark, because there are a couple pages that claim to be us, but they're not us. And I think it's cool that we had, I guess, fans who like were into it and wanted to make a thing, but you can't tell if it's really us or not. With the little blue verified check mark, that's how you know.
Or the typos.
Or the typos. Lots of typos. Punctuation.
There is an event with tickets on it and everything. At just type Big D and Bubba Live on Stage. Big D and Bubba Live on Stage. That's the
in
only
Google?
One that exists right now. No, on Facebook.
And there will be
more. I bet you can Google that.
And here's the thing: we're going to travel this thing all around. Our goal is to eventually take it worldwide and go and visit a lot of the bases and ships and different people who are serving our country around the globe. We want to get it real good for them, so we have to kind of make some mistakes on our early shows. So we have some other ones that we're about
Way
to announce.
Way to sell it, Bubba.
Well,
Way to get people to come out and see it.
Here's the thing. The mistakes are the funny stuff, because when somebody sits down and the chair breaks or whatever, that's funny stuff.
That's always me, isn't it?
It's not always you.
We went to a restaurant the other day, Vivica and I, and we had a choice between, it was like the half booth, half chair. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they got the table pulled up to one side of a booth with a regular chair on the other side. And the chair was this tiny little dainty feminine wooden chair. That is my nightmare. That chair, when you pull it back and it feels like it's just not even there because there's no weight to it. Yeah. You know the kind of talking
you didn't
about?
Sit in that.
Oh, and she's like, "Well, you know, I really don't like to sit with my back to the whole restaurant." I'm like, "I'm sorry.
I really don't like to lay on the floor.
I really don't like to break chairs in public because I'm a huge fat guy."
You know, we actually here in the studio. This will give you a little behind the scenes stuff. We actually have steel stools, little bar stools, and like here, Patrick's banging on it right there. So we have these steel bar stools.
Remember why?
We originally had wooden ones. And we had a guest who came in one day.
Just say it. It was Ralphie. Ralphie would want you to say that it was Ralphie.
Ralphie would want you to say
that. Well, he would.
Ralphie
May, comedian
Ralphie
May. And Ralphie was coming in, and we were all like, dude, Ralphie can't. Because I almost broke one. Like, you lean on it.
Yeah, if you lean it weird.
And it would go.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
There's no way in the world Ralphie May could have sat on one of those.
Nope.
And it held his weight. There's no way. And it was a liability. We couldn't put him on one of those chairs. We couldn't even chance it.
No.
So we went out and we ordered these aluminum or steel or whatever they are stools. And they're great and everything. Now you see them everywhere. Like, you can get them at the grocery store. But like back then, we couldn't get them. But yeah.
Do we know the chair situation for the stage show?
No. Wait, I don't know if we're going to do it behind. Are we going to do it like a table facing everybody, or are we going to be facing each other like a horseshoe, like a round table?
No, it's going to be a table facing out and I'm going to check with. I'm going to make sure the guy knows that we cannot have flimsy wooden chairs.
I still want and Patrick doesn't want me to have a wireless mic. I want a wireless mic. I love going run out to the people and
I can have one. The thing is, that sucks as a show when people are standing in or sitting in an audience looking at a stage. bring people up on stage if we're going to play games with them.
I don't want to bring them up on stage because then you have the chance that somebody's going to trip or fall off the stage because they're going to be drinking.
And it looks way better. And it's better for the
thoughts,
people
Big D?
Still in
what
the
are you
audience.
Thinking?
I don't care. Whatever you guys think, man.
Oh, yeah. That was helpful. Gee.
Seriously, I don't care. Whatever y'all think.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. Where do you want to eat? Wherever. How about Mexican?
This is basic theater 101. You don't go out in the audience unless you have to.
I'm not
better to bring the
guy.
Audience onto the stage if you're going to do audience participation, which is a big part of the show.
It
last
is a big
time
part of it.
I was on a stage doing performance stuff was in high school and in a play.
I know mine.
What play?
I don't know.
The last time I was on stage doing any kind of performance was kindergarten, and I was the Roman soldier for the Easter parade thing. And I was going... I forgot what it was, but I had to say, hear ye, something. I don't remember anything else, but I remember hear ye.
How, a little side note from that, how do you guys, do you just remember that? I mean, is that easy for you guys to remember that kind of stuff?
Like what, lines?
No, like that memory that you did that.
I mean, there are some things you remember very easily.
I only thought of it because you thought of yours first. Like, in other words, I wouldn't have thought... about getting on stage, because when you said the last time I was on stage was, and I went, when was the last time? And I went, well, let's go back to kindergarten. I remember it too, and I had a little Roman mask, and it was made out of like some felt stuff, because
I don't remember things very well. I have a very good memory.
You don't. You don't remember things at all.
I don't remember words.
I hate that I remember so much.
Really?
I will hold grudges for years because I can't forget. Like, you turned your back on me once. It was 20 years ago. I never forget that.
I have to ask the guys, kind of a running joke, to have a
I know
running.
Where this is going.
To have write down who it is that we don't like because I forget.
You forget.
Like, they'll there have people guy, that
was
stabbed.
There was a guy that we don't dislike that D thought we didn't like. Like, didn't he really mess us up when that? And I'm like, no, that wasn't him. That was somebody else. He goes, Oh, my bad. I thought that was him.
I was kind of short with him, and I thought he was on the bad team.
This guy was asking for a favor from Big D, and D's like, thinking, oh, yeah, man. We don't like him. And the whole time
no,
he's
all right. He goes, really? I thought he messed us up in that business thing. And I'm like,
you're going to have to check your book, man.
I'm like a human rhinoceros. Just stupid.
What you need, honestly, is like an Evernote. Well, we've talked about the show Evernote, and there needs to be a file in there where we can look it up from anywhere.
Version of the poop list.
We need a file. We can call it whatever.
Trust me, we'll have it up here.
What makes you think that I don't have a good memory?
That you can't remember actors. You can't remember movies. There are things that I thought would have stuck in your head. And I'm sure you remember some important things, but even like your family's birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
And anniversaries and stuff.
Yes, yes.
That preach, you're a little sister, fuzzy preach. On that?
But what dude remembers that?
Me.
Yeah, I mean, but you're Cassie.
It's just weird. It's not even that I'm not saying that all I remember is like people that I hate or something. But like one day Patrick and I sat in the office and we were going through chronologically the cities that had The Real World, the TV show. Why do we know that stuff? It's just we have.
Why do you know that stuff?
I don't know. It's just weird stuff sticks in your head.
There was something the other day where I knew the name of a song that was number one on a certain. And someone, and we were at CMA Fest. Someone looked at me and goes, why do you know that? I'm like, I don't know.
And I kind of like, I'm a little bit envious of D because I feel like his brain isn't cluttered with.
Oh.
Dumb
he's happier
stuff.
Than the rest of us.
No,
I tell
but
you right
just,
now.
Yeah, but it's not that like, I just feel like you don't have that clutter.
Listen, if
that
I could
you
forget middle
you just
school,
have good stuff
my
going on
life
up there.
Would be way better, I think.
You guys can remember your school teachers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I remember some. Mm-hmm. I remember Miss Schutz.
Because she was hot.
Miss Schutz was hot.
I remember my kindergarten.
I got it bad, so bad.
Second and third grade teachers, but I can't remember my first grade teachers.
I can go all the way through sixth grade. Mrs. Lichter, Mrs. Stackhouse, Miss Rejunas, Mrs. DeStefano, Mrs. Epstein, Miss Cluck. Yeah.
This is good.
I had Miss Rigsby.
I'm like, how do you not know these people?
Goday, I think.
You spend all this time with them. You're like,
I don't remember. It was all the Cajun names. Yeah. I could just make up Cajun names, and I'm probably half right.
Yeah, that's
two teachers in the sixth grade, and I can't remember their names. One of them was Mrs. Jack. I remember Mrs. Jack because we were 12 years old in the sixth grade, and she rapped to us to teach us the importance of deodorant.
Oh, no.
I still remember the first day of school. Yes, she said, so I have worked out a little rap for the children.
Oh, no.
She said, so pay attention. Soap and water won't do. Use deodorant, too. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to keep that until I'm 30-something years old. And yeah, I did.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I still remember a song we made up at church camp. Like, is, you know, that kind of stupid stuff that
the
just sticks in
the
head.
Wheels on the bus go round and round. How else would the wheels go? Out of curiosity.
They go side to side? No.
The wheels on the bus go.
Yeah, there's just weird things that get stuck in. I don't know. For some reason, they stick in your head and they just never leave.
How's your dating life?
Oh, non-existent.
Are you even trying?
No, I am. I am focusing on me and my weight loss and getting in shape, and I'm like feeling better about myself. And so I think when I'm kind of at a good place with that is when I will put myself back in the pool.
And by the way, kudos to Carson. I don't know if we've mentioned it on the podcast. I know we've talked about it on the show, on the radio side, but on the podcast itself, you've lost, as of today, 25
Yeah, it's actually a little over 26 now.
26 pounds. So that's like 52 dude pounds. Because remember, every lady pound equates to about, it's about the same as two guy pounds. So that's a huge deal.
Well, thank you.
I mean, wow. 50 pounds is insanely awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to be this shallow and whatever, but part of it is, you know, I mean, I'm probably going to sign up for like online dating stuff, Match and whatever, and that's all photo-based. So I'd like to look as good as possible so I can date guys that look as good as possible.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason I pulled myself out of circulation.
Have you ever dated someone that you thought was attractive, but then you got to talking to them and they were unattractive? They became more they become uglier the more
personality made them ugly.
Yes. Yeah, that there's been that occasional like good looking dude and you think like, wow, yeah. And then they start talking and they say things and you're like, oh, I remember this is years ago. I was sitting on a rooftop in New York City with a guy who had just started working with us at NBC. And we were talking, and he was blonde, and he was built, and I thought we were kind of feeling each other, and then he started making these really weird
farm animal noises. Yeah. And I thought, are you from a farm? And he says, I am the farm.
Yeah. Okay, so good. Yeah, no, he started to make some really questionable remarks, and
like racist stuff,
misogynistic.
Like what?
He was making comments about how no woman can really be raped. Because down we all really would want it. Yeah, I mean, that it was very... And I was like, well...
Do you think he had like a fantasy of that and was hoping you would like be
didn't
like...
Didn't want to stick around to find out.
Yeah, like because you know there's people that could have been his way of testing the waters
see... I thought he was so cool. He was in a KISS t-shirt and I was like, cool, we could talk about music. And then about an hour in, I don't know if it was the alcohol that loosened his lips and he started saying things like that and I was like, all right.
Lucky for you, you got him hammered.
Yeah. So I look over at my girlfriends and I'm like, we're going. We got to get out of
Audi.
Here. Yeah.
Remember when people say Audi?
Like, Audi.
Audi 5000.
It's very clueless. Audi. Yeah.
You ever met a guy that you were like, I'm not really. And then you get to know him and you're like, wow, this guy.
Yeah.
Becomes more attractive.
I dated a guy for 2 years that I'll be honest with you. Like if I showed him a picture of him, you guys would be like, you dated this guy? Like
but if
real?
We hung out with him, we would totally want to date him too.
He was so funny and clever. And it was the better part of a month of us just being friends. And I didn't think anything, like no offense to him. I just didn't put him in that dateable group. And he managed to make the shift.
Wow.
Because his personality, he was that great.
Do you think that's his game?
I think it was.
He knows that, okay, let me get in there. She'll like she'll want to be around me because I'm so fun and clever and witty. And then
I think he had it worked out. But
break down the walls.
Yeah, he did because, I mean, do you know they talk about like the story of the Velveteen Rabbit, even though it's like
I don't know that story.
Well, it's just a story about even though it's the oldest toy and it's rough and it's, you know, she's got like patches because it's been so loved. The point is it's still your favorite toy. It's your best loved toy regardless of what it looks like on the outside. And I always compared him to the Velveteen Rabbit, like You may not look best on the outside, but I did love you best on the inside. He was a good dude.
He was your Woody from Toy Story.
There you go. Yeah.
Do you think he'll... Have you talked to him since?
No.
Do you think he ended up...
He ended up cheating on me, so like, that's a no. So, but for a while, it was good. And then when I found out there were other women who enjoyed his humor, I had to get away from that.
I had somebody on Facebook.
I was talking with Gunther, a buddy of mine, and he... was talking about, because he's single right now, and he's like, he's been single for, well, a long time, and he's like, yeah, he goes, people are like, you know, what about fate and this and that, and he's like, you know, talking about this ex-girlfriend he was with, and they said, well, you screwed it up, and, you know, it was fate and whatever, and he said, how can you screw up fate?
True.
And I was like, you have a good point there. Mm-hmm. He's like, so it wasn't meant to be, and, you know, people say that, you know, don't screw it up.
Nope. You know, it's Final Destination, man. Like, it's going to find you one way or another.
That's true.
Right? No, it's true. What happens, happens.
Yeah.
It all works out.
Do you believe in fate? Do you believe that there is just one dude out there?
I don't know about that, but I do believe that there are, I believe everything's kind of working toward, like, it'll happen. I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'd like it to happen sooner rather than later because it's getting a little old. But I'm getting a little old.
Whatever.
But it would be nice. No, I totally buy that. Because, you know, because I think about if I had stayed with that ex-boyfriend, the experiences I don't think I would have taken. Like, I wouldn't be here, probably. And I would take this over him any day. So, you know, it's all that kind of stuff.
Well, you're crazy.
We knew that.
Yeah, well, good. You know, congrats on the weight loss. And I think you're doing
great.
And she's working really hard. Working out, you know, twice a day.
It's crazy. Twice a day.
That's impressive.
That's like Hollywood stuff. That's like what people, you know, Zac Efron will go in and he has somebody who he pays to take him there twice to the gym. And you are doing it on your own.
Yeah. I'm trying. I know. You do see some of those celebrities that when they shape up, I'll watch their Instagram videos. And I mean, to be fair, yes, they've got trainers and stuff, but they're working it. And I said,
that's the difference, though. That is their job. They have to do those things for those roles.
I had to make it my second job. That was why I had to really make it a priority.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Big D said they're still doing the work. I get that. They're doing the work, but I'm saying that's their job is to do that.
Yeah. Do you ever hear about those actors that they're like, well, yeah, for 2 months, I think like Jake Gyllenhaal did that boxing movie and he would work out 8 hours a day 2 months before they started filming it. And I thought, like, that dude got paid to work out as his job.
Yeah.
Like, what a gig,
man. It was obviously hard work because I saw that movie.
And he
was shredded. Or look at, Hugh Jackman for whenever he does the Wolverine stuff. He's like, yeah, he goes for 6 months each time. Isn't that why he said he was done with the Wolverine movies?
Yeah, because I think it puts him through too much.
He said physically it's torture. So
when you go back and watch Parks and Rec and Chris Pratt is fluffy. And then you watch him in Guardians and Jurassic Park, and he's ripped. He's got an 8-pack.
Well, look at, what's his name from Office? The other guy, Krasinski.
Krasinski. Oh, my gosh. He became a beast. But they get paid to do that. That must be nice.
Like 13 hours, Krasinski and The Office, Krasinski.
Yeah.
Two different dudes.
So different.
It's been a fun talk, guys. I do want to mention that... We are playing the Dierks Bentley interview after the podcast. So if you are watching or listening to this on Facebook, you will definitely want to get the actual audio version of the podcast.
Yeah. And I do want to say this, too. We've had a couple of people ask why we're doing the podcast early this week. I have to go out of town immediately after the show on Friday. So it's going to be crazy. I've got some personal stuff. My wife's stepdad had a heart attack, and we've talked about it on the show, and I've asked for prayers and whatnot, but we're going to go and spend some time bedside with him over the next couple days, and not next couple days, but starting on the weekend, but had to get the podcast out early so I could leave as soon as possible on Friday to be there for him and obviously for her and the rest of the family too, so that's kind of why we're doing it. Also, Michelle says, love the Live PD shirt. That's right. For those of you watching, got my Live PD shirt on. Thanks for supporting our nation's law enforcement officers and families and the best show on the planet, because that is the best show on the planet.
It's good, man.
It's like the best show. It needs its own channel. I've said it several times. It really does. Like, it's only 3 hours a night, two nights a week. And it's the best 6 hours of television all week. I tape it, and I've been known to watch it twice.
In case you miss something.
Sometimes you do. And then you live tweet it, and you play bingo. Bingo is the best. Have you ever seen the bingo cards?
I saw some people had them floating around.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. Anyway. All right. You done, Big D?
I'm done.
All right. Thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast this week. Better parts, better prices every day at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And thank you for watching on Facebook and obviously listening here on the podcast itself. And remember, this is a great time. Summer, everybody traveling. Binge listen. Catch up on all the old episodes of the podcast as well. And we will see you later.
Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, Dirks Bentley.
What's up, guys?
Man, congrats. By the way, congrats on everything. That's like everything you're doing. You're doing like...
Thanks, man.
Like everything? That's like the most vague thing ever.
everything you're doing, you're
just doing it all.
Everything's awesome.
Yeah, look around.
Life's awesome.
Hey, I got an album. Hey, I got a bar. Hey, I got a tour. Hey, I got a new... It's everything.
Yeah. Well, I like your digs here, man. This is my first time being down, and this is awesome.
He said digs, D-I-G-S,
yeah,
digs.
Isn't this digs? Isn't it like a digs when you call us like digs here?
Yeah.
I had to clarify. Somebody who's half listening.
I don't know much about those, but this is location is amazing. Let's put it that way. This is the coolest. Like, you need a TV. You need to, like, be filming this with cameras. This is amazing.
The thing is that, like, you are big on – that's why your album, most of it's filmed, like, in the mountains.
Yeah.
I mean, because you wanted to get that
the vibe. Yeah, where you're creating, you guys are creating art. Where you're doing your thing, you want to be inspired. You got to be inspired. But if you're doing this just in like a, generic studio somewhere with white walls, it's just not going to be a very inspired show. But you come in here, man, I feel inspired. I can't take my eyes off the details that went into the making this place, and it makes me feel like, this is cool.
Always,
let's talk about stuff.
You know, it's funny because I just had a good conversation with a friend of mine who's a songwriter about our studio and just different studios in general. And we were talking about how you go to normal radio stations and it feels like you're going to the dentist. It's got that very
so clinical.
Well, it's like you're doing the interview in Walmart in aisle 6 with the overhead lighting, fluorescent lighting bearing down on you. It's like, oh man, it's not enjoyable. This is like just a hang.
Well,
I love
that's
it.
The idea is we have to be here for several hours.
It feels like a bar a little bit.
It feels like
a man cave, like a really cool man cave.
Hey, this Bubba's been listening to this album and The Mountain, and he's really digging it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was a big fan of the Bluegrass album, but what I like about this one is, my phone is wigging out. I did an update, and it's just not
that's
happy
the worst.
With me. Man, every time you do an update, it wigs and gets all weird.
In case you gotta go flip phone. That way you don't have to worry about that.
You missed flip phone.
You can just like the updates.
Oh my gosh! What is that?
It's my peace of mind.
Is that a Nokia?
It's an LG Verizon, man. It's a peace of mind.
Do you know I saw you on stage talking about the album a couple months ago, and you pulled that out of your pocket, and I leaned over my friend. I go, does he have a flip phone?
I do. Yeah, I still have an iPhone. It's a luxury. I have two phones, so I can't say I've moved over completely, but it's just like I'm here with you guys. I don't want that thing. Like it pulls at me. I want to be able to talk to you guys, be totally present with you guys. If I have my iPhone out, I'm going to be like, I just know it. Even knowing it's there, I think makes me dumber.
You're going to be
playing
songs
off of
it?
I know it's there. I feel dumber having it around. I can't play songs off the LG. You have to play it off the
iPhone. I can.
The good thing about not having, if you carry a flip phone, everyone else around you still has an iPhone. So if you need to take a picture to send to somebody, you just literally grab someone's camera, fire off a picture, text yourself.
Yeah. I feel in love.
Oh, here
it is. This is it.
This is my jam.
You got headphones right over there.
Headed somewhere north of where you are.
Oh, cool. My Religion is my favorite song so far. It's weird how the evolution of an album is. Like you hear a song like this.
Now I know I'm going where you are.
And you go, this is my favorite song. And then 3 weeks later, your favorite song will be a different one on the album.
With these candles right here, and the music and the vibe, I'm kind of starting to feel something. I do love you guys.
This feels like,
but this isn't
we're
the whole album.
Soaring over the mountains, Colorado.
Here we go. I knew the planes were going to come up sooner or later. And we're flying.
Oh, we got some. I have a surprise for you.
Loving you is my religion.
Yeah, man.
Dirk's undo. Let's let the album play.
Let Dirk's Bentley sing it.
Gonna mess it up. Hey, do you do that in concert? Like whenever you're like singing and like everyone sings along like a song that everyone knows or whatever. Do you stop singing and then put the mic at the crowd? At the crowd and have them sing it? Do you do that?
I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't I do that?
Well, because as a fan, I want to hear you.
I don't do the whole song, but I mean, like, you know, pair of boots and a sack of clothes, you know, boom, free. The whole crowd goes pretty easy down the road.
But not every time.
Or 5150, somebody call the popo. Then I go, I'm going. The crowd goes crazy. I say, think about you. Baby, so there's moments.
Okay,
of back
so you're not
and forth.
Doing an unanswered prayers, Garth
no.
Brooks. Like I would pay money to go to a Garth concert and actually hear Garth sing unanswered prayers. I don't think he honestly knows
no,
the words.
Well, when you're doing two songs a day or two shows a day, like he does, you got to be smart about your voice, right?
When I saw him, he was doing unanswered prayers. All I heard was "Sometimes I thank God," because there was a guy next to me. And I was like, you know what, dude?
Sorry about that.
Can I get my money back?
Yeah, well, Garth concerts, man, I've been to them, and the crowd sings along to every single word so loud. So maybe it's hard to compete with them.
Hey, Dirk Bentley is in the studio with us. The new album is called The Mountain. It's out now. He co-wrote 10 of the 13 songs. So that means when you buy it, he gets more money because he co-wrote some of the songs.
And got a bunch of vinyl. I've signed like 500 vinyl copies. When I sign it, you're going to take away John Party's and put mine right there in the window?
Okay. Where's the John Party one?
Right there. It's in Patrick's office.
That's Patrick's office.
That's a good album.
That's his record collection.
Okay, like,
he goes to all the antique stores and he gets all these great old records. Because we have a record player in here. So on Thursdays, we play throwback songs on the record. So.
I love that. Well, I got the vinyl coming out. We spent a lot of time mastering the vinyls. It's actually a double vinyl. So I'm going to make sure. Hopefully he'll replace it. I'll send it to Patrick.
Now, I will say that vinyl's coming back, but I don't know that it's really coming back.
You know, they're actually selling it in Walmart and they're selling it in Target. And it's, I think for people, there's like the CD's kind of gone. I think it's either like MP3, just the easiest way to listen to on your phone. Or like for, you know, if you want to, there are some people that want to listen to vinyl. I think it's around a little bit. I don't think it's going to like, people are like, it's going to read. Boost the energy.
I still like CDs, and I'll tell you why. Because when I'm in the Jeep and I'm like out in the middle of nowhere, and you don't have cell signals, so you can't stream audio and all that kind of stuff. The CDs are there, and you have your song.
And you got the leaflet you can look through, and then you can do the whole. Like Sam Bush, who's a buddy of mine, bluegrass musician. I already had Spotify his album and listened to it on iTunes, and he actually gave me the CD, and I was like, dude, I already got it. He's like, I just listened on the CD. It's great. I listened to it so much more intentfully because it was in my car, in the CD, looking through the liner notes, who wrote what. It's a pretty good experience.
I also think, too, and this is a silly thing, I think if somebody goes and buys the CD rather than streaming it, they become a bigger fan. And I'll tell you what. It sounds
weird.
Skin
in the game.
Exactly. That was what I was going to say is when they buy it, when they physically lay some money down, then they're investing in Dirk's Bentley.
Yeah.
And they're going, you know, I really like this album because I spent, you know, $15 on it.
Yeah.
This is now my album.
I still like liner notes and lyrics.
I do
so
too.
So I know what people are saying because I'm the worst at trying to figure them out. It's nice
am
that
too.
They're right there.
I was listening to, you heard Post Malone. Mm-hmm. I listened to some of his music the other day and I was like, okay, I got to get on here and figure out what is he talking about? Like going on the phone, like looking up lyrics, like, and even looking at the lyrics really didn't help. I'm like, okay, I don't know.
like seriously.
Like country songs have like a real, like, you know, linear story being told and every word matters. And like some of this other stuff is like, all right, just whatever's on my mind
right
now.
You're lucky if you can get two sentences to correlate to each other and connect.
Crazy.
It's weird. But it's entertaining.
But it's cool. But, I totally appreciate it. I'm totally respectful and appreciate it in a totally different way. It's just, it's good to actually really get outside your genre and see some stuff. But your point, the lyrics can, liner notes can help for sure.
You ought to go full Post Malone, get the facial tattoos.
Yeah,
and
he's amazing. His music is definitely addictive. Listen to it. He's actually in Whiskey Row there until 4:30 in the morning. He was at my bar until 4:30, hanging out with the Lanco guys and Luke Combs and Kane Brown, the whole next generation of country singers.
Yeah, we heard about that because Kane came in to visit
the next day.
And he was dragging.
Oh, I bet he was.
Yes.
TR told me he was like hurting for like 3 days.
But I mean, think it's impressive that he can finish up a career in the NBA and then do music.
Different Malone. That's Malone. He used to play for Utah. That's Carl Malone. The mailman. He used to play against the Phoenix Suns. The mailman always beat us.
Stockton to Malone. All right. So You want to see something amazing, Carson?
Yes. Okay.
Now, Carson, do you want to see something crazy?
Sure.
Are we going to do this now? Let's take a break, and we're going to wow you. This is a nice, great old
school
radio.
Did you do like a barrel
tease.
Roll in the 182?
No, wait. 210.
Okay. 210. Oh, watch your mouth.
You want to be
182. 182.
You think?
Hello.
You think Dirk's we're nerding out. They're over here having one conversation. I'm trying to have another. I'm the big kid for once. Real quick, we are going to amaze you. Dirk Bentley has a skill that you didn't even know he had.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to show you. We're going to actually, he doesn't even know he's about to show you. Next.
Dirk Bentley is with us in the studio. We all know Dirk says he's a singer. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's a business owner. He's done a lot of things.
Everything.
He's done everything. He's done all the things.
Big D. Everything.
But there is one thing that you probably don't know he's able to do.
Wait for it.
This is the big talent, the big skill.
Dirk's, like us, is a pilot, IFR-rated pilot, was instrument-rated pilot. You have to be to fly jets.
We fly in clouds. We can fly in clouds.
We can fly in clouds. We don't have to see to land. Well, right. Not till 200 feet or so.
Yeah.
Carson, what you're about to hear is pretty cool. We are going to put Dirk Bentley into an imaginary cockpit right
yes.
now. Dirk's, right now you are in the cockpit of Warrior 6987 Juliet.
6987 Juliet.
Warrior 6987 Juliet.
Do you want to give him a pen and paper so you can copy?
I'm writing down. Okay. I think I should be able to remember that. That's part of the hard part about being the hardest part of being positive communication skills.
Okay, Carson, what you're going to hear here is Dirks has already filed an instrument flight plan ahead of time, so he's already ready to go. Now, he can't get off the ground until he gets clearance.
That's right.
From air traffic control, because he can't just go flying willy-nilly. You're going to hear air traffic control give him...
Carson is so lost.
He's like, I don't have a clue.
It's going to give you...
Everyone's listening right now.
You've already got on the radio, and you've already requested to get your clearance.
He says, I want to go from here to there.
I'm going to do that right now? No.
You're just going to have to do the readback.
Okay, cool.
Now, watch this, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, gosh.
Dirks has not heard this before, but he's hearing it for the very first time. He will recite exactly right back what the controller here is saying.
Oh, God.
Go.
Clear to Tango Tango November Airport, VF on entry control to airspace. Proceed direct to Robbinsville, direct Yardley, direct on departure 2000, 4001 remains after departure. Departure frequency is 12415. Squawk is 4252.
All right, and then you reply with...
Okay. Clear direct Tango Tango November via some sort of departure, then Robbinsville and Yardley in 2000. Expect... 8,014 minutes after, was that right?
I think it was 10. I thought it
10,
was
10,000 10 minutes 10, after.
10,010 after.
10,000, 10 minutes after departure. Then squawk is 4252, and departure frequency is 124.15. Pretty close.
Pretty close.
That's a hard one. Where'd that come from?
That's a hard one. That's actually taken.
Is that you?
No. That's actually taken from a course where they teach students to learn how to do.
Wow.
And all that stuff actually tells the pilot where to go. Literally, it says go to this waypoint, go to that waypoint, go to this, and what altitudes you should be at,
yeah,
and all that.
You're clear to Trenton. You got to pass over a few waypoints. One's the Robinsonville, one's the Yardley waypoint, and then 2,000 feet on departure. But then after 10 minutes, you can climb up to 10,000 feet.
Carson, isn't this great?
I mean, I'm just going to drive. But thank you.
Hey, Bubba and I, one time we were flying. We're
Google Maps and just drive. But hey, good for you.
We were in Teterboro, and we were in my plane.
Yeah.
And I filed, and so I get the clearance. Do you remember that,
Jake's,
Bubba?
The Jake 3 departure?
Dude, it was 15 waypoints long.
We had to ask him to repeat it three times.
No, it didn't. Stop saying that. It's not true. Don't say that, because that's not true at all.
Twice.
None. Zero.
You nailed it? You
nailed it the first time. I still have the piece of paper, actually.
That's a tough one, Teterboro. You got to level off pretty quick once you take off.
And then they change everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, the best thing is like before we even got to the first waypoint, they're like, here's your new stuff.
It's just messing with you. But one time I took off out of Teterboro, and I didn't do the frequency change, and they finally, I was like, oh, man, I think I forgot to switch over. So I put it in, but I didn't flip it. Flipped over, and he goes, call sign. He's like, we've been looking for you for 5 minutes. right turn 180, 17,000, hold. Like, he just threw me up somewhere and just, like, put me in the penalty box.
He put you in timeout.
Wow. Yeah, totally put me in timeout.
Oh,
and I was already kind of, you know, feel critical trying to make it from New York to Nashville. But, so, yeah, you don't want to mess around with New York.
All right, Dierks Bentley, the new album, it's called The Mountain.
The new album is
We've taken aviation talk to a whole new one on this
the
one,
The new
boys.
Album is way, way, way good. You know, you've got the Big D and Bubba stamp of approval on it, and I'm, you know, Woman Amen is strong. The whole album is full of great, great, great songs, and I'm not just saying it because you're here. I was telling Big D, I said, I've been listening to it for the last couple days.
Thanks,
it's
man.
It's really a good album.
Yeah, to find the album, folks, go to Whiskey Mike Sierra. That's Walmart store. depart your driveway and make a 181-180 heading for 3 miles. Expect to jump on Hillsborough Road at 2,000 feet after that and squawk us on whatever radio station you listen to, Big D and Bubba.
Yeah, there you go.
Dierks Bentley, the best. Man, thanks for bringing your burner phone in.
Thanks, guys. thanks for the candles.
Yeah.
Thanks for the scent, the smell. Aviation podcast. It was beautiful.
All of it.
All the
Make
love.
Sure you get The Mountain from Dierks Bentley.